This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, it is throwback week. We've got people walking in on other people taking a shower. We've got a baby shower gone wrong, and most importantly, stay away from the stairs. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Holy cow. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the GH Report. We're back.
We're back.
Look at that. Welcome, everybody, to the GH Report. We're here every Sunday night. Pretty much. Breaking down the latest comings and goings in Port Charles. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Renata.
You sure?
You know what? Leave me alone.
Just checking. I mean, Carla's just, you know, got her iPad out, just, you know, watching herself, how great
no,
she is.
No, I am not. I am checking out the chat room.
She's actually streaming episodes of Living Biblically, which is coming back. You can watch those episodes coming back on CBS, so look at that.
They are coming back on CBS, all five of them, and then will officially be canceled, as opposed to, like, the teaser before.
Still, at least that's five more chances to see Carla Renata.
You know, I was actually kind of, because when they said they pulled us off the air, I was like, womp, womp, womp. And then they said, oh, okay, we're going to air these other five episodes. I'm like, okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, folks, if you want to get in touch with us, you can like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, feel free to hop in the chat. Carla's got it up and running, so
yes.
Share your thoughts about anything happening in Port Charles, whether it was this past week or just in general.
Yes.
But before we hop into the week in specific, you said, you know, there were some old school shenanigans happening this week. How'd you feel about this week?
Okay, can we just talk about that baby shower?
Oh, we'll break that whole thing
down. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that baby shower, because that baby shower was pure comedy. It was comedy and yet like a bad toothache all at the same time.
All right, let's, you know, we're not even, we watched the show this week. We're going to, so now let's jump into it. Let's just go to that big meaty morsel of the baby shower. Now, we see it all leading up to this week. I mean, it's been going for weeks.
Yes.
Having a baby shower, a baby shower. Oh,
yes.
That's going to happen to the quarter mains. Oh, we get to see Carly head over there, and they talk about macaroons for the longest time. I could bring macaroons. We make great macaroons over at the Metro Court.
I was like, who gives a flying fig about a macaroon? Let's get to the meat of the situation.
Okay. Now, hold on. I will give, I'll give some time to a good macaroon.
Ew, really?
Yeah, come on now. Wait, you're not a macaroon person?
No. They're too sweet.
Folks, we're going to wrap up the show. Thanks, everybody, for watching. That is it. That was
They're
the breaking point.
They're too sweet.
What? They? No. You got to have the right ones. Come on.
Clearly, I have not, because it is just like taking a handful of sugar and throwing it down my throat.
A nice chocolate macaroon, there's nothing better.
Mm-mm.
Nothing better. So we see all this lining up. People are, hey, we got to go buy a gift for the baby shower. Oh, hey. Brad's getting invited to this baby shower.
Okay, let's just pause there for a second. I kind of just love the fact that her new bestie, Brad, her new bestie, Brad, has now been invited to the baby shower because him and Lucas are now adopting, but the adoption's not final. So they want him to be at the baby shower just so that he can have a clue as to what's going on when they get their kid. I'm like, first of all, we don't know if the baby they're adopting is a baby, if it's like a toddler. If it's a preteen, like, we don't know what age the child is, so there's that.
24-year-old man.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on, I can't.
Every time that Brad says to Nell about what their kids are going to do when they grow up, I curdle a little bit inside, like, oh.
Please, anytime Nell says anything, I just want to punch her in her throat. She And she won that Daytime Emmy, which means she's doing her job. So there's that.
Great. Great. You know, and again, you know, the
she knocked over my iPad. The spirit of Nell knocked over my iPad.
This is absolutely zero reflection on the actress. She is fantastic. She's been in here on the GH Report before.
We love her.
Yes. It's
we
just,
love her. Man, we're talking about her character, though.
Oh,
and her character is off the chain.
So we see leading up to that, you know, Nell's blackmail shenanigans don't just stop with trying to get Carly in trouble. It is also, hey, we need Ava.
But we knew that was coming. And
yes.
I was in the chat room and was looking at some of the comments that people were making. And I can't remember who made this comment. But one person was like, I'm going to need... Oops. See, General Hospital knocked over my iPad. I'm going to need for General Hospital not to be telegraphing the storylines. Because it's getting to the point, and I agree with them, that you can tell what the storyline is or what's going to happen next a mile away. There's no super surprises anymore, don't you think?
Well, until this week, I was wondering why Nell had taken that photograph of Ava's photograph of Griffin's test results, seeing how that was going to play into it. Now we see how it is, and it's
but
like...
But we knew that. Come on. We knew that if Nell took a picture of anything that didn't belong to her, she's somehow going to use it as leverage to play into whatever little sick mind game plan thing she has going on. And I love the fact that she's trying to now blackmail Ava. And this is the thing that surprised me, that Ava is letting her get away with it. I'm like, come on, Ava. Really? You can't outsmart this little young whippersnapper? Like, for real?
Would you... Because Nell wants to treat it like, oh, this is blackmail, but we're still friends. Can you be friends with somebody you're blackmailing?
Hell no. Ava needs to punch her in her throat and call it a day.
She's got to pull a Carl out of her.
I'm not violent, but I'm just like, come on, just punch her in her throat so she can just shut up. Just punch her in her throat one more time.
I don't know what Nell's, when she keeps saying, oh, yeah, we're friends.
But, no.
But if you don't do this...
I'm going to blow your world apart. You think you have Avery now, but you won't have Avery. And how is Griffin going to feel about you if I show these test results? You think he doesn't trust you now? Wait until...
Ugh, yeah. We also... And what never really led to anything, I guess, other than Ava finding out what Nell has been kind of doing to Carly, is the whole thing with the disappearing ink and the
check. I was just about to say. So I love how that came into play. I love that it took Lucy Coe. I love that it took Lucy Coe showing up with that check going, excuse me, what is this? For her to figure out that the pen that she wrote was a pen with disappearing ink. So, but that would, see, this is the thing that confuses me. And I'm not sure how you feel about this, so I'm interested to know.
Are you?
I'm interested to know. So, Ava has now has something to hold over Nell's head with this disappearing ink pen. She could have blasted her to hell and blew her world up, right? But she didn't because Nell had the picture of the test results that Ava took. Is that why she didn't say anything?
I'm guessing, but I feel like at that point, then it's like mutually assured destruction. We both have something on the other person, so why don't we all just drop whatever we're doing and neither of us say anything? Otherwise, both our lives are going to get blown up.
Well, they both have that hatred of Carly in common, so maybe there's that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so let's just dive back into that baby shower real quick. So they're at the baby shower, and I love... Remember how I was talking maybe a couple of weeks ago about how whenever somebody is overhearing a conversation and you don't hear that music, but they have that look on their face... This was the same kind of situation at the baby shower. Whenever somebody would say something, they were supposed to be whispering to the person they were talking to, but someone in close proximity would always hear it, like Ava or Nell would always hear what was being said between Bobby and Carly or between Olivia and Carly. Like, they would just hear it and then be all up in the conversation. And then whenever somebody would hug Nell, there would always be that look of disgust. I'm like, what is happening? It was like the baby shower from hell.
Nell is not somebody that has any friends other than Brad. For some reason, Brad and her are just best pals.
I don't get that.
And Monica has taken a liking to her, but only because she's carrying a great grandchild of the Quartermain clan.
Oh, pause. So, speaking of Monica, they went back to the oath. Remember back in the day when somebody would come out and they make that announcement? They usually just announced it that one time. But why was it every time Patty McCormick was on screen, they were like, the role of Monica Quatermain is now being played by Patty McCormick. I'm like, okay, we got that the first time y'all said it. You don't have to announce it every time we see her.
You got to. Oh. She's soap royalty.
Look, not only is she so, wasn't that the same Patty McCormick that was in the Bad Seed? Isn't it the same one?
Yeah.
So I think I'm almost positive she worked on Heart of Dixie with me. I think I saw her at like a rap party one time. I was like, you're from the Bad Seed, right? That's my favorite movie. And I remember her because her eyes are so big and piercingly blue. She's got the most beautiful eyes. She is the sweetest, nicest person. I have to give it up to GH for if they were going to bring somebody in to cover for Leslie Charlson, she was the perfect choice for that.
Interesting that as I look at our studio right now, there are seats that guests could sit in.
You know what?
And it's empty.
They're coming. Don't clown.
All right. Okay. I mean, I can see Patsy right here. We could just chat with her about her.
Patty McCormick.
Yeah, Patty.
I'll reach out to her. Don't clown.
Not clown. I mean, never forget, folks. Maurice Bernard by the end of 2018.
He will be in these chairs. I promise you. I cannot wait for that day because I'm gonna have all kinds of crow cake for you to eat.
I will. I'll bring my knife and fork. I'll bring my bib. I'll be ready to go. So this baby shower starts, and it's a small gathering because there's not really many people that, one, like Nell, or two, are that involved with their lives, that they're like, yeah, I want to spend some of my afternoon at a really glitzy mansion but with an awkward kind of party tone.
That was just craziness.
Yeah.
It was unadulterated craziness. I watched it like... excuse me, like watching a car crash. You should turn away. You know you should just turn your head, but you just can't stop looking. That's what that baby shower was like for me.
Now, I feel like the only one that was genuine, well, I guess two people that were genuinely excited to be there. One was Jocelyn, and the other was Brad. I mean, he was to a lesser extent because they're pals, but Jocelyn was the only one that was like, yeah, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, Jocelyn, bless her heart. That's because she's young and unscathed by life so far. Which is really hard to believe since Jax and Carly are her mom and dad. So it's just like, okay, so there's that. But three things actually. I love that they had the little baby well, and that was like the only decent moment of the whole baby shower where they had the baby well, where everybody was putting their gifts into the baby well and saying why they got what they got and why they were putting it in the baby well. I mean, even Carly, you know, got her butt off her shoulders and was like, okay, I'm going to put this in the baby well because Sonny and I are going to sign this and this will be great for the baby. Like, even Carly had that moment where she was trying to, like, fluff up and do the right thing. And then what happens? Then they start opening up the gifts.
Yeah. Now, before we go to the gifts, the baby well, is that that's a common thing for baby showers or a particular you can do that?
I've never been to a baby shower and seen that kind of thing. Maybe it's some kind of new thing, but I've never seen that. Mm. Usually when I go to a baby shower, the baby showers that I go to, it's usually you eat and you have a good time and you play a bunch of dumb games. And then they take all of the every time a present is open, they take the bow from the present and put it on the mother-to-be's head. So she ends up with like this big crown. Bows hanging around, it's really corny, hanging around her neck, and then they take a picture of her with all the bows. Like, that's what I've seen. I've never seen like a well of baby gifts ever. Oof. So I don't know what that is.
Well. Shame I'm missing out on all that. I guess the other thing to do is they play the game of what's in the bag, where they had Brad.
We've never done that either.
No,
I mean, like I said, maybe these two additions are some new baby shower things, but I'm not privy to that. I haven't been to a baby shower where they've done that.
Now, what I want to ask is, Brad had the hardest time figuring out what was inside there, and he pulls that out. It is a spoon.
I was like, really, Brad? Really? You don't know what the hell a spoon feels like? It wasn't like it was a obscurely shaped spoon. It was a spoon.
Yeah. you know what Brad needs to learn? He needs to learn. And you know what could help him learn, grow in all aspects of his life?
Conversations with
Maria Menounos podcast edition. Drops on iTunes every single Friday and is created by our own AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos herself. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews. She talks about everything from career, relationships, finances, health and wellness, and much more. Why not let Maria be a big sister that you've never had? So all you have to do is go to iTunes and subscribe to for free. That's right, for free. No money for you, only just enjoyment. And when you do, let her know that it was Carla Renata from the ABTV GH Report that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Make sure to check it out.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Specifically Carla. Let her know that. Also, I've heard that the good night moon is a very cliched gift to give at a baby shower. Hence, I see why maybe duplicate, we see two people giving that same book.
Oh, I've never seen, like I said, I've never seen someone give that book. What, generally, what I see given at baby showers that I've been to, they usually give a bunch of Pampers. There's usually a stroller or one or a hand stroller given. There's usually some bottle warmers and some walkie-talkies, like really practical things.
Bunch of scratcher tickets?
No. But every baby shower that I've ever been to, because they're all, most of them are mothers that attend. They're like, yeah, all that other stuff, you're really not going to need that. You're really going to need these diapers because they cost a grip. So here you go.
What I did think is the one gift that was interesting was Brad's about a family membership to a children's museum.
I thought that was like, it's going to be a minute before they can use that, but okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you want to get out of the house. You can walk around a children's museum. At least it's something that, you know, keep the kids' interest, even if it's a baby. Just...
I don't know. I liked Monica's gift.
The stock? Great.
I loved Monica's gift. She was like, it's a Quartermain tradition. I'm like, okay, Monica. All right.
Yeah, like a little, and which is, I hope this reaches maturity when the child is of age. Like it was weird the way that Monica said that.
It was the way it was, the way it was worded was kind of odd. It was.
So, of course, during the course of this, Nell's been scheming for weeks about somehow she's really going to stick it to Carly at this baby shower. Really stick it. And it's a two-part thing that she's got set up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is that she's blackmailed Ava into bringing a gift. Ava doesn't want anything to do with it, but she says, all you have to do is bring it and let me open it, and we'll take care of the rest.
Which was heinous the way that went down.
Yeah.
Because you could see, I actually felt bad for Ava in that moment. Because she tried to stop it. She was like, yes. No, wait. And so she tries to stop it. And then Nell keeps coming up with a reason why she shouldn't stop opening the gift. And then she opens it. And then there's that deer in the headlight look on Carly's face when it comes out. So it's a baby mobile with penguins on it is what it is. And evidently penguins were Morgan's favorite thing that he really enjoyed. And the next thing you know... Carly's hurling.
What was that?
She's hurling the baby mobile around the room. I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not funny, but it was kind of funny. She's hurling this around and everybody's standing there looking at her like, why are you having a meltdown over penguins? Like everybody in the room is like, oh my God. And then Jocelyn's like, why can't you just be happy for her? Did you forget she saved my life? I'm like, Oh Lord.
That has a limited warranty in terms of how many times you can call that out and get sympathy for that.
Exactly. But this was the part about all of that I love. So I love that they're finally upstairs and then she whips out that blanket and Carly's like, Morgan had one. Oh, okay. So it took you, how many months has this been? It took you all this time to figure out that this doll was the one who's been setting you up? Like, really? And then this is what I mean about the predictability of the situation. So everything is calm for a minute. You hear everybody having these calm conversations downstairs. And then all of a sudden, you hear Carly yell, now. And then everybody comes running out of the room. And then you see them tussling over the blanket. And then I'm not sure if Nell threw herself down the stairs. I'm not sure if Nell lost her balance. We know that Carly didn't push her because Carly had the blanket in her hand.
Yeah.
So I'm just like... It was so predictable. It's like, now we got to find out whether the baby lives, whether the baby dies. How is Nell going to rebound from that? What kind of treachery is she going to, how is she going to use that to her advantage after? I can't. It's just way too predictable. How many times have we seen that on a soap opera? And particularly General Hospital. Somebody's always falling down the stairs on General Hospital.
And surprising it wasn't Sam. But this time it was Nell. What I like is at least in the bedroom. Where they're having the baby's room, where they're having that conversation, and Carly puts it all together.
Mm.
Nell, for some reason, will not really confessed to it. Just like, yeah, I think you're having a mental breakdown. Oh, my goodness.
Because she knew it would piss her off. She knew it would piss her off and make her just fly off the handle. She's one of you. Everybody has somebody in their life that pushes your buttons, that makes you react in a way that is just uncharacteristic for you. And Nell is that person for Carly. Like, the sight of her just makes her act a certain way and behave a certain way. It's almost like she can't even help it.
Well, certainly she couldn't, because she blew up a few times. And I was glad that Bobby Lake called her on. It's like, you gotta check yourself.
Yeah, she was like, you gotta check yourself and just suck it up and do what you gotta do for the good of the baby. Just suck it up. And then that was the impetus for her going upstairs to talk to Nell in the first place. But even, because Jocelyn goes in on her mom and she leaves. And then that's when Bobby was like, yeah, you might want to suck it up just to be an example for your daughter. So that your daughter doesn't see you as the crazy mad mother-in-law for the rest of your life.
The thing, though, it was like, so Nell, like, planned this out to the T, where it's like, I will give her this. Carly will blow up. I will cry. She will attack me. I will go upstairs. She will feel bad about it. So she will follow me upstairs.
Yes, she did, because she's maniacal.
I'm like, that's a, you're assuming a lot.
She is the hand that rocked the cradle on GH. That's what she is. As I have said numerous times.
So she falls down the stairs and we get a nice slow motion, which I like, have a really intense conversation right at the lip of the of stairs. That's
who does that?
That's
like
a great
that's
place.
Never a good idea. That's like thriller cliche number 565. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, come on. Yeah, they couldn't have that conversation someplace else. Does she really have to fall down the stairs? Now we have to go through the agony of watching her be in the hospital, watching Michael come to her rescue, watching Michael and Carly have a conversation about that, which is going to result in an argument, watching Sonny and Carly have a conversation about that, which is going to result in an argument, maybe watch some more shenanigans between Jocelyn and Carly, you know, maybe have Brad come, like, it's just the plethora of people that are going to show up at this girl's hospital room to talk about what happened at the baby shower. It's going to go on for weeks. I don't even want to watch it.
I feel like Michael's going to be heated. He's going to be mad at Carly. But I feel like once Carly explains everything, even the fact that Nell sort of admitted to it at the end, but not really. No, Carly. I know. Yep, because you're gaslighting me. But even though Nell kind of admitted it to Carly at the end, I feel like once Carly explains everything, like, how can you not? And you know Nell's history. You know that's what she's all about. So how could anybody go like, Carly, you're wrong.
There's gonna be at least one person who is not gonna be on Carly's side, and that's what's gonna make her lose her shit. Oops, sorry. That's what's going to make her lose it, because there's going to be one person, and right now I don't even know which one person it's going to be, but there's going to be one person that's just going to not go, yeah, why are you, really, Nell, really? They're going to do that, and she's going to lose her mind.
This is bonkers. I don't know where the storyline's going to go exactly. I'm sure the baby's not going to be dead or injured.
Wait, but then there was this story. No, it's not going to be dead.
So now we just got to... But I feel like it's setting up what we're going to get into is eventually a big legal brouhaha between Nell and Michael.
Well, there may not be, because she has those papers drawn up.
Nobody signed them yet, though.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
maybe they should have signed them.
Yeah.
If they had signed them once they found out what happened with... But we don't... Who drew those... Do we know who drew those papers up for her?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, it'll depend on whether that paperwork may not even be real legal paperwork. It may be something that she got on LegalZoom.com. We don't know.
Hey, LegalZoom is a great reputable law website there. You can get many things done on there.
I'm just saying, it may be something she got from LegalZoom.com or maybe, you know, some website on Google. Who knows? You know, that Nell, she's very resourceful.
Yeah, that baby shower, this whole storyline, it cannot end soon enough, because I agree exactly with what you're saying. It is painful to watch, and yet, as you're saying, it's like a car wreck that's just like,
just like please, watching paint dry. It really is.
Please
just
be
like,
over.
Oh my God. But this was the one thing that happened throughout the week that was a little interesting for me, just to switch gears. So, speaking of Carly and Sonny, so Sonny, but this was also a weird moment. So Sonny and Max, I think it is, are having a conversation about Croydon, right? And about this dead body that may or may not be there, that somebody may or may not find. And who's lurking at the top of the steps? Mike. And then Mike comes down at the bottom of the steps and is like, so I know what I know. But you're supposed to have Alzheimer's. So why are you so definitive about that one piece of information? That was a little weird for me. And then what happens? Him and Jason go out to dig the body up. They find it was a piece of metal. What was it?
The money clip.
They find the money clip. And then they don't find a body. And that's how that ends. I'm like, okay, so there was all that lead up for y'all to find a money clip? Really?
There was a moment there where Mike seems lucid and he wants to tell Sonny something. And then Sonny just shuts him down.
I'm like, right.
Please, just for our sake, let us just hear what Mike's got to say.
Right.
Because you, like, not letting Mike talk and then just, how does Mike know? I don't know.
That was annoying to me. Like, it was like somebody dropped the ball in the storytelling of that particular thing. Because you're absolutely right. It was like, he did seem lucid. And then all of a sudden, they were like, yeah, shut up. So then we're going to have this conversation over here. I was like, what is going on? I don't understand. That was very frustrating. That was very frustrating for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm really, so far, this Creighton thing, not really interesting me at all.
I think that they're doing that just to give Sonny a distraction from Carly and from Mike, because the last couple of months have been very heavy on those two characters, so maybe they're just trying to break up the monotony a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, I guess you can't have him do something kind of mob related, so he's got to be doing the business.
Well, he is the godfather of Port Charles, so
that's
there's
right.
that.
Now, speaking of other kind of bits of business in there, the other big storyline that I'm starting to draw thin on, but I'll see how you're feeling.
And that I know which one you're going to say.
All right, let's see if you know.
Heinrich.
I knew that is correct.
I knew that's where you were going with that. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I was just like, and the thing that's really kind of killing me about that is Anna pretending to be the mother, but really is the mother, and now she's emailing him, and he's having commentary to his computer about what the emails mean. And then I love the last one that she sent where she was like, do not trust Valentine, and then he comes in the office. I'm like, oh, come on. I can't.
There is way too much of people pretending to be people that they aren't emailing Lulu about all this stuff. I'm like, man, all right. It was fine when, like, one person's doing it, but now we get both sides emailing Lulu.
It's just too much.
This is so irritating.
It's just too much.
So we already see Robert. He's taken off the canvas by Valentine. Wherever Robert is, he's...
They got rid of my boy Tristan Rogers. I'm very upset about that.
The only thing I could think of which might come out to bite Valentine is that he has stashed him wherever he maybe put Claudette. And maybe that turns into something like, hey, I'm back, and guess what I found,
too. That's a good
point.
That would be good. That would actually be very fascinating if they did that.
So
I would enjoy that.
Blow up Valentine's little
world
there. I
would enjoy that.
But we get to see Valentine stutter come out in front of Heinrich when he starts talking about, we got to get rid of Anna. Got to get rid of her. Too close.
Mm-hmm.
He don't touch her.
I'm hoping that he doesn't, because that would be horrible if he takes out his own mom. Oh, that would just be horrible.
Yeah, it's... I feel like at times, like Valentine and Anna, they could get along, but they're so distrustful of each other. But Valentine will always have that soft spot for her. And so when he reaches out about midweek, which says, I really need to talk to you, and she's like, nope, too busy, gotta go, see you later, bye bye, and blows him off. I feel like at that moment, he genuinely wanted to reach out and at least tell her something that would be helpful to her.
Yeah, that storyline, and it's so interesting because it seems like they just popped that storyline in the middle of the episode to kind of distract us from all the other shenanigans that are happening that we don't like. So it's like they kind of throw it in the middle, and you're like, and they throw it in the middle, and it never has any real resolution or any real reason for you to care when it comes back up again. And then they go on to the, I'm like, what's happening? I don't understand.
Yeah. So.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, all we have now is that, Peter's going to be taking Maxie or accompanying her to the nurse's ball.
Okay. And let's just pause there at nurse's ball. How comical is it that Lucy Cole is just popping up anywhere and everywhere unceremoniously in the same outfit, talking about this nurse's ball? She's had on the same outfit for days. Everybody else didn't change clothes, but Lucy got on the same dress. I don't understand what's going on.
She is like running around that, you know, that town like a, you know, like a spinning dervish trying to get funds for this nurse's ball. But I'm also thinking, like, isn't nurse's ball, like, if this is like a yearly event, wouldn't fundraising kind of, it would be focused year round. You're not really trying the last few weeks trying to go around and get like, guess what, you need money.
No, but to speak to that, when you are on a fundraising committee for something of that magnitude, it is an all-year-round thing, but then there's that final push toward the end to really kind of, you know, stick it to people to get them to even give more than they gave before, or maybe give something if they haven't given yet, like just to remind people. But the way that they're going about doing it on GH is just like, really, we're going to bring her in like 2 weeks before the nurse's ball, and you're going to suspend the disbelief that none of us know what fundraising is, and that, like you said, isn't it something that happens year round? Yeah, it is.
And they're like, hey, you know, if you're going to be scouting for local talent, which this...
No, wait, that one killed me too, in the thing in the shower.
Yes.
I can't.
All right, so we'll get to that in a second. But, so we got that, we got a friendship with Heinrich and Anna and yes, all that stuff. So
I think we were done with that though.
Yeah, are we done with it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think. What else is there to say about it? The other thing is,
like, Nina has cooled off. She seems to, believe that Peter's nice.
Yeah, she seems to have calmed down, and seems like Curtis has, you know, agreed with her. Like, he's kind of,
Well, he's with Sam now. Like, he and Sam are going to buddy up and investigate more Peter August.
But he seems like he's more invested in trying to marry Jordan.
Well, that, but he's also like, he knows that, you know, Peter's going to screw with some of his friends, so he wants to make sure that that's all right.
I think if he's partnering up with Sam, then Peter going to be found out quicker than later. Sam don't play.
Yeah, Sam falls down a lot on stairs, though. So who knows what could happen there. There's going to be a stairs in Sam's future soon, and she's going
to
fall down it.
No, don't have Sam falling down some stairs. Why are you trying to get rid of Sam? You're awful.
She's going
to
fall down.
Okay, wait. So speaking of Sam, which leads me to Jason, which leads me to Jake. So I really like the fact that Jake is starting to come around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, good old Stone Cold. I mean, he's not trying to force himself in. He's being a nice guy.
But I like the fact that Jake is finally starting to warm up. Because before, Jake was like, you are not my daddy. I hate you. Go away. Which I was like, that was weird. And now they're kind of like trying to soften him up, which makes me wonder, are they trying to like hook Jason back up with Elizabeth again? And is Drew going to be totally out in the cold? Like, I don't know.
It is interesting to have two sides of it. I mean, you've got Drew, who has Jason's memories, except for like the last 4 years where he's kind of made his own. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Jason, who has got all his original memories and hates Franco. Mm-hmm. Drew has, you know, known, even though he doesn't remember his past, I mean, he recognizes what Franco did to help him when mm-hmm. they were kids. So mm-hmm. he seems to, at least is able to reconcile the person that he is now with the kid that he was back then. Mm-hmm. And seems to have like, if not best friends, at least they're friendly. Mm-hmm. And now Elizabeth is making that big push with Jason. Just like, hey, you know, can you try to see what happened with Franco and see him in a different light?
Speaking of Franco, it was interesting how he met up with one of Jim Harvey's victims. That was kind of interesting.
Well, because it turned out to be completely convenient to give the city of Port Charles somebody else to, you know, sue to get compensation for everybody displaced in Port Charles and Charles Street.
And let's just talk about that. I think you mentioned this once before when we were talking about the earthquake and all. So Charlie's was the only place on Charles Street that didn't get damaged.
No, it's all good.
I'm just like, okay, so if Charles Street is one street, why is there one institution on the whole street that didn't get jacked up?
Yep.
That's weird. Don't you think that's weird? That's something that happens with a tornado. Like a tornado can hit and some houses get messed up and some houses don't, but not with an earthquake. Or like a mudslide. Some houses get the mud, some houses don't. But with an earthquake, you don't ever see an earthquake hit a city and some houses get gravely affected by the earthquake and some get no damage at all. Like never.
But where would our cast meet to talk about important things?
Kelly's. The Metro Court.
The Floating Rib.
I'm just saying, they have other places to go to. Why are they always rolling up in Charlie's? That is pure comedy to me.
Yeah, the fact that Alexis continues to go to Charlie's just drives me bonkers. And I feel bad for the Floating Rib. I feel like the Floating Rib is on dangerous financial ground. I think we could go at any moment. The Floating Rib is going to be closed.
The Floating Rib is going to go bankrupt because they don't have any more customers coming in.
Yeah, they're all going to Charlie's now. Poor Mac, he's sitting there behind the bar just lonely. Nobody's coming in.
And Kelly's too, for that matter. Like, they haven't talked about Kelly's in a minute.
Yeah. I feel like people seem to like their sandwiches, so they always like come and go and grab something and take off with it. But poor Floating Rib. I'm so scared for you guys. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, wait. Let me just backtrack a little bit. Didn't you just, and one of the fans, so thank you fans for pointing this out. Somebody pointed out that when Maxie was on the phone, she was like, I'm not afraid of Erica Kay. And I'm like, ooh, is that a reference that Miss Susan Lucci may be coming to Port Charles?
She'll never come to Port Charles.
Oh, come on. Why are they going to mention Erica Kane if she's not going to come to Port
Charles?
That's
fine. That is a great, nice little thing to shout out to show you're connected to a larger world. You never have to see Erica Kane. It's a fun little thing to get fans excited without ever having to see Susan Lucci come through the
doors. Because I was uber excited. Could you imagine if Susan Lucci hit Port Charles? Oh, my goodness. My face hurts from smiling at the opportunity of that happening.
Yeah, but I feel like
I'm so excited.
If you were going to do that, which would be phenomenal, it'd be really cool to see what would happen. You can't treat her the way that other people, like from One Life to Live, that have come on the show,
no,
have been treated. Like, you know, just kind of barely given anything to do, and then they're gone after a few days.
It's Susan Lucci. Of course, they're not going to do that.
I have no guarantees on that. I mean, I've seen how they treated their own returning cast members.
Look, it is Susan Lucci. They're not going to do La Lucci like that. La Lucci will punch somebody in their throat. It's not going
to
happen.
But if you're going to bring Susan Lucci in, she would need to be there, I think, for several weeks or months to give her like a really good meaty storyline.
I wouldn't care how long she was there. To have her come up in there and wreck Nina's world and have Maxie be fawning all over her would totally be worth it. I just need to see that just for 2 seconds.
I mean, it'd be great to see her in there, but I feel like you can't. The Crimson stuff just wouldn't be enough. I feel like if you're going to bring her in, you got to give her something more meaty that she could do.
But they could do it. They're writers. It's a soap opera. They can write anything they want.
I think they would drop the ball on it, which would sadden me. I would love to see it, but I think they'd drop the ball.
I don't want to believe that, but you might be right. I don't want to believe that, though.
When they made Felicia said the only thing to Maxie when she came in out of town real quick? How was your flight? That was it. That was what they wrote. They wrote her to say that line to Maxie.
I can't.
In the floating rib. How was your flight? I haven't seen you, but I feel like I need to ask you.
Uh-uh. Oh, speaking of bad, how bad was that video that Olivia did for Ned?
Oh, man.
Did you forget about that?
No, that was... What drove me bonkers?
Were her going like this.
This.
She kept going. And it was such... Kudos to the chick that plays Olivia, because that was the worst bad acting ever. When she was like, and this is our hospital, general hospital. I said, oh no.
And I feel like she...
I laughed at that. I laughed out loud at that. I rewound it. I went back to Hulu and watched it again so I could laugh again.
It was so crazy.
It was horrible.
Like she never told Griffin like that this was happening. Like,
no,
she was like,
totally surprised.
Yes.
He looked like, why are you talking to me and why is there a camera in the hospital? It was hilarious.
And the way the shot works, they walk up to get Liz, so you think they'd stop, they'd plant, and then Griffin would say his lines to the camera while Olivia's right next to him, kind of just smiling and nodding. But then he walks further away from her, just like just so confused.
It was so, that's what I'm saying, it was comically bad, but it was so funny. It was so funny. Oh, it makes my jaws hurt laughing at that. That was craziness.
And the fact that, I mean, granted, we shoot in sound stages, but you couldn't give us like some outdoor nice beauty shots of Port Charles at all.
There was none of that. There was the one outside in the very beginning.
Outside of like a close up of a hospital. That was it. And then we've got Jordan inside Kelly's, which seems so weird to me.
That was so freaking odd. And even she was looking crazy. She was like, oh, okay. Everybody that she talked to looked crazy. And then my favorite thing after all of that is that Ned goes, I love you. I'm like, oh my God, did you really think that was good? Did you really think that was going to help your cause in Port Charles? Dude, you're not getting any money after that video. It was horrible.
The man is smart. Would you rather have Olivia mad at you or not? The man's smart. He's going to say he liked that video. And then secretly, he's going to tell everybody that's working on the video, social media side, just lose that tape.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Olivia mad at me. She got a temper on her.
I would have to.
She's from Bensonhurst, after all.
But I feel like I would say, you know what? I love that idea. Why don't we reshoot this? And you never put your hands up. Let's do that.
Because, baby, if she extended that arm one more time and go, it was like Stepford Wife look on her face. It was so funny.
When especially as she's walking through the Metro Court and she's coming around the bar.
And she was like this. I hollered. Oh my God, it was so funny.
That was ridiculous. Oh.
It was so funny. That was pure. That kind of made all of the stuff with Nell and Carly and all of that, it made it laughable. Between that and Lucy popping up in showers, it was just pure comedy.
Now, the one thing that seemed, because we have scenes between Ned, Olivia, and Alexis. And Alexis wants to sue the city of Port Charles on behalf of the people from Charles Street. I'm going to sneeze.
Go ahead. Do your thing. Excuse me. Get it out.
We got that live for you folks. That sneeze was live. So then Alexis comes over to have a chat with Ned and Olivia about how she's going to be suing. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing just seems so weird to me. Like, why would she be suing? And she's like, the fat cat's like, does she not see how much Ned is doing to help the city?
The board had that meeting in Charlie's. They all kind of got together, and they were asking her if she would represent them in the lawsuit. And at first she was like, no, I can't do that because of this. No, I can't do that because of that. And then toward the end of the conversation, she was like, oh, yeah, I can, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then it was like, okay, and how are you going to do it? Okay.
Yeah. So Franco comes over with a title for My Two Dads Company that My Two Dads Productions is heading over to the city of Port Charles. It's been turned over to that. Hooray.
I can't. Oh. I can't.
Yeah.
This is the other thing that was interesting to me, too. Why was Ava's face so red? Did you notice how red her face was? It looked like she'd had a bad facial.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Like, her face was as red as your jacket. It was really red.
She was blushing about some of these awkward scenes that she had to be in this week. At the beginning of the week, her and Griffin have had a little conversation, a little heated. Griffin, after all the fallout with what Ava did to get joint custody of Avery, he's like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to move out. And I kind of agree with what Ava was saying. It's like, you know, if you're mad, we need to sort this out. Mm. Whether we stay together or we not, but I mean, you know, we should try to sort this out. Mm-hmm. And Griffin's like, oh yeah, I do care about you. You know, I may not understand why you did that or agree, but I still care.
And then Ava said, I thought you said you liked me just the way I am. When did that change? And he never really kind of answered her. Just like he never said I love you back. So I'm kind of having issues with Griffin.
This is a relationship that is doomed to a spectacular
failure. He's very passive aggressive. He's very passive aggressive. It's like she said that to him, and then he had that look on his face. So I think that that's why she was probably open and her guard was down when Nell came to her with them shenanigans, because she was so blinded by the light with Griffin that she wasn't thinking clearly. And him moving out, that's not going to work with him being in a house with Avery. Avery's a little girl. Like, that's just confusing for that child. So he was right in moving out.
You know, another, speaking of Ava, scenes I'm tired of and I do not need to see ever again are people coming into Ava's art gallery, inquiring about a piece of art, and then finding out it's so expensive. They're like, oh, what? And then backing out. I was like, okay.
Like, does she ever sell any art?
She clearly, to people that are rich that are not on the show, and you know what? You don't see them at the nurse's ball giving out big money either.
First of all, we never see any of the donors at the nurse's ball. The nurse's ball is always full of every character that's on General Hospital, some that we see constantly and some that we never see except for when it's time for the nurse's ball.
It's just those stand-ins I have for the day that sit there in those chairs and smile like they're enjoying the show.
No, if you look in, this is the thing about the nurse's ball that actually makes me chuckle. So whenever they show the nurse's ball, you see maybe 25 people there. It's supposed to be a ball. Ball would constitute that there's at least over 100 people there. They have a red carpet and all of this. You're going to have a red carpet for like 25 people? Really?
And you're showing this on television. You're putting this on TV.
Exactly. That costs money. It's not cheap. So I'm just like, okay.
For 25 people.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, for 25 people. I'm like, where are the thousands? It's a hospital. It's a hospital. Let's just bring this into reality. Let's think about Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles. Cedars-Sinai Hospital takes up like 5 blocks. Clearly, they have donors that are in the thousands. Clearly. Have you seen all of the names on those walls when you go there? We've never seen a wall like that at General Hospital.
No.
With the names of the donors on it. So that's why it's always 25 people at the nurse's ball. I'm just saying.
I mean, we've got the, you know, the Stone Cates
That's a wing.
That's a wing. We've never seen that wing, though. I've never seen the name of that ever, anywhere.
That's a wing, but we've never seen a wall. Nope. Like, we'll hear about wings being donated yep. or floors being renamed, but we've never seen a wall with people's names on it. I'm like, I want to know who these donors are that are... that are giving money for the nurses' ball. I just need to see some faces.
It's coming soon, folks. And when this nurses' ball comes, we're gonna just sink right into it.
Frank is gonna have a nervous breakdown. You're gonna go look. You're grin. I don't think I've ever seen you grin so hard. Is this is gonna now. Be? You live for the nurses' ball every year, don't you?
It is because it is so bonkers to me. that it exists and people care.
Ouch, my face hurts. That's hilarious.
Real quick before the one other kind of big storyline was we've had Drew, we've got Oscar, mm-hmm. and we had a little injury there, and we see him dealing with Kim. So
that was so short lived, though, don't you think? It's like they hardly gave that any attention at all. Like we see Drew in the woods, he's like, "Yeah, I really wanted to go hiking, but I twisted my knee. Oh, let me check it out. Let me take you to the hospital. Oh, Mom's gonna freak out." Like that was all we got. Like, what is happening?
That seems so, like,
wasn't that weird?
Why did we have that scene? What was to be gained by them having a little heat up moment in there in the hospital? Okay, I guess, yeah, I don't know why they decided to go the scene that way. But one bit of news before we start making our way towards the end of the show.
Yes,
AfterBuzz TV News.
Of course, if you like podcasts, and we already told you about Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, make sure you're checking that out. But two people from General Hospital have also started their own podcast.
Ooh.
Yes.
Do tell.
And that is Steve Burton, Bradford Anderson.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, they've been partnered up for a minute. They had a little group together for a while.
They've got Stone Cold and the Jackal is the name of their podcast. Mm-hmm. So they're on there just talking about stuff and life and being chuckleheads.
Chuckleheads.
Yes.
I love that you use that word. I use that all the time.
So go check that out if you want to see what's going on in those two's lives.
And I have something to add to that.
Ooh.
So Nathan West, who was, not Nathan West, but the actor that played Nathan West, Ryan Pavey, who was on General Hospital as Nathan West, is in a new Hallmark movie called Marrying Mr. Darcy, which is probably why he left the soap.
Well, Manlanders, that I think it made him like, I got to get out of here.
But at any rate, you're so shady, but anyway, Marrying Mr. Darcy will show on June 2nd on the Hallmark Channel. So if you have the Hallmark Channel, or if you don't, stream it and check out your guy, Raven Pavey, who was Nathan West from General Hospital on Marrying Mr. Darcy.
Well, look at that. Yeah, how about that? We've got a couple minutes here for some super fast predictions. I know Carla's got, if you saw Carla's iPad right there, filled with predictions.
Okay, so next week, I think what's going to happen is, like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a whole week of shenanigans with Nell being in the hospital after this fall and the fallout from that. I think we're going to see a little bit more fallout from this body not showing up in Croydon for Jason and Sonny. And I think that, who else? I think that Ava and Nell are probably going to have some words, too. And Carly is probably going to come for Ava with a little more venom than she has in the past because of the situation with Nell. Because she'll probably find out at some point they partnered up.
Do you feel like Ava will rat out Nell at any respect or no?
I'm feeling like her conscience wants her to, and it may just accidentally blurt out. And since Griffin's moved out, I don't really see how, you know, she could be wanting to save that relationship at this point because he's moved out. So what's the point? And he's made it known that he doesn't agree with what she does, and he doesn't accept her for who she is. So why should she care?
I feel like, do you want to say, I wonder if Carly's going to like push to try to get full custody back after Ava's even tangential part of the shenanigans.
Oh, most definitely. Like that will be the impetus for her to push for full custody. And which brings me to, it broke my heart that Mike was like, oh, I miss that little girl around the house. It's so quiet. Like, oh, that kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah, but don't let me get the hot dogs or pretzels. That won't be good. ladies and gentlemen, you know what? It is time to wrap up this episode of the JH Report. What do you think about that, Carla?
That's all good. I think we had a lot to say. It was a lot to laugh about.
That's true.
It was shenanigans for days.
That there were. But as always, folks, thanks for watching us. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with us, especially Carla, even after the show's over, where can they find you?
Everyone can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. Don't forget to check out my panel of Dancing with the Stars on Tuesday nights and my panel of Black Hollywood, of Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live, where we do film reviews along with Scott Menzel.
There you go. Two shows that Carla enjoys doing way much more than she does doing
shows. That
is so
not true. Oh, I can't stand you.
Yep. That's what she says right after the show ends.
I love GH.
That's when she walks out. Only GH, but not me. folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. We'll be back here soon with another episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.